Hello, it is October 5th, 2017. You're looking live at Athens, Georgia. This is episode 7.1.1 of the Will Leach Experience podcast on Sports on Earth. I am your aforementioned host, Will Leach. I thank you for spending part of your day with me. I'm here with Allison Futter for our two very quick, very fast, super fast, whoa, so fast previews of the two division series that we have yet to discuss on this here podcast. They are, first off, we're going to start with the Yankees and the Indians. Are you in Houston right now? You're preparing for that game, right?
Yes, I am in Houston preparing for game one, the big Verlander sale showdown.
Yes, but within it, if it goes at all the way it's been going so far, each of them will give up 8 runs.
Exactly.
So going into the Yankees Indians preview, my general thought is, to me, the major move in this series, and you know, when you're previewing a series, you just kind of you're looking for any kind of thing you can find. For me, the major move this series is Terry Francona's decision to start Corey Kluber in Game 2 rather than Game 1. Now, his mindset appears to be one of a bit of presumption. The idea that, like, well, if I use Kluber here, I'll use him if I have to in Game 5, but ideally, I'd love to be able to use him potentially 3 times in an ALCS. Now, if I'm the Yankees, I'm like, hey, I'm the Yankees. We're really good. Why are you not just putting your first guy, make sure your best guy pitches twice? There's a possibility that the Indians lose this series and Kluber only pitches once. What did you think of Francona's decision to do that?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, normally I would go, well, that doesn't really make a lot of sense, except that it's Francona making the decision. So I sort of think that it does make sense because he knows his personnel probably better than I do. It seems a little weird to give somebody like Trevor Bauer like that first game, given, I don't know. It just seems like you need a little bit more of a bulldog mindset. But, yeah, I get it. I mean, you know, he's kind of banking on the fact that they're heavily favored in the series and they're heavily favored to win the World Series. And so he's going with what he thinks is probably a more logical thing to do. That this is like what you look back in hindsight and go, oh, my God, that was such a good idea.
Yeah.
Except when you're like, before it's happening, you're like, ooh, that might not be such a good idea. But, you know, I have never really questioned anything that Terry Francona has done. And I'm not going to start now. So I think he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, it's funny. We spend all of this time saying we want managers to be more unconventional, try different things, take some risk. And then when they do, we're like, oh, curious move by Francona. We'll see if this thing works out. And we'll totally blame if it doesn't happen. It's funny. I did a little ranking for Sports and Earth of like the 8 most desperate teams kind of coming in of the 8, like the levels of desperation, how much they want a championship this year. I did put Cleveland number 1, not just because obviously the history of Cleveland, but and not just the fact that they came so close last year and didn't win it. But this Indians team just looks awesome. Like, if you really,
yes.
when you kind of step back from it and take a look at them, their pitching looks fantastic. The offense has been hot. Their bullpen is great. It's hard to find a lot of flaws in Cleveland, which is one of the reasons I think we're focusing so much on Francona's decision, because they're like, oh, I don't know, maybe we squint and that doesn't work because everything else about Cleveland looks so good.
Yeah, no, it's one of those, you really can't find a lot of flaws. You have to really dig and say, okay, well, the key injuries that they've always dealt with, it's such a bummer that they can't be participating in the series. And beyond that, everyone's just wondering, like, how much more of a superstar can Francisco Lindor become? And things along those lines. So, yeah, I mean, I get it. I mean, I really do think that you can be a little bit more loose with some of the decisions that you make, or a little bit more daring, maybe that's the word, when you have a team like this. And as we know, though, anything can happen in a short season. But I don't think there's going to be a lot of panic if the Indians do lose that first game, because then they're set up to still be pretty strong throughout.
Yeah, it's funny. We watched so much. You know, you and I were both at the World Series last year. We watched so much of the Indians. And you look at them now, you're like, oh, this is like that team that almost won the World Series, except they have Edwin Encarnacion and Jay Bruce and Jose Ramirez. Right. And like all, and their pitching staff is all healthy. Looking at the Yankees, for me, one of my things I was kind of impressed from that wild card game, that crowd was hot. Man, I was there during the 2009 World Series and most really all of those playoffs, and the crowd got loud, but it really that still felt like they were kind of in old Yankee Stadium mode. They still kind of missed the old place, and they were still like the old idea that you like your grandmother doesn't want to take the cushions off the cover off the couch. Like they didn't really get crazy in there, but that place was like Pittsburgh loud in that wild card game. It feels like the kind of the new town's invigorated the Yankees a little bit. It's funny because I had this idea: if the Yankees won the World Series this year, it would totally be the start. We would be inundated with so many. Okay, here comes the new Yankee dynasty, and who's the core four, and all those sorts of things. But to me, the thing with the Yankees is the thing that worries me about them this series. They need Severino to be a star, and now I don't even know when he's going to pitch again. That wild card game, as impressive as the bullpen was, I think actually raised more questions about the Yankees than necessarily what they answered.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that was not a well-played game. I mean, I'm sorry, but high offense, high-scoring games in the playoffs are worrisome. It doesn't really matter which side you're on, and that it is not a good sign. And I mean, maybe it was just fluky. It's kind of weird that both wildcard games, like, yeah, there were problems with the starting pitchers, like, right from the start. But, yeah, I mean, you can't do that every game. So this is like a condensed regular season. And of course you can do lots of things that you can't do in the regular season. But yeah, having your starters go two innings and then the bullpen getting seven every night for 11 games minimum, it's not sustainable. So, yeah, Severino is going to have to, he just looked out of sorts. He looked out of sync. He looked nervous. His body language wasn't good. His pitches were obviously not good. And so maybe he'll settle in a little bit, be able to relax. But then you're like, okay, well, what if it's game seven? I mean, this is, you know, this is high pressure, winner take all. And he did not pass that first test. So we'll see.
Yeah. Even Brian Kinney would not say you should make every postseason game a bullpen game. Like eventually right. you do need some starters. And to me, that's kind of what this comes down to. I also love the idea that game one today will be the exact 10-year anniversary of the Midges game. I'm very happy about that. 10 years to the day. One of my favorite. Wow. I was writing columns for the Times Select. For people who remember the Times Select back in the day, and I was writing columns for them about that series. And I remember at first they thought they were called Canadian Soldiers. That was actually the name of a little beetle. Turned out to be Midges. Of course, this is a Cleveland thing. There were actually Midges in late September last year. There were Midges in June. So many Midges that they showed up on the radar on the weather in June. So maybe we'll get another Midges invasion. I'm trying to think of which Yankees reliever they would upset the most. I wouldn't mind seeing Chapman annoyed by some Midges. He, that guy's not one of my favorite guys. Looking at this series, it's hard for me we'll be coming to predictions. It's hard for me to come up with a lot of ways where the Yankees win this series. I think the Yankees are a good team, but if Severino is going to be still wobbly, it's hard to imagine. I like Sabathia, but man, this looks like a lineup that could kind of knock him around. The Indians look like kind of all the bases that you want in the postseason rotation, bullpen, strong lineup, and defense. It feels like they've got all four.
Yeah, no, the Indians hit good pitching. it sounds really basic and kind of stupid that I phrase it like that, but they beat good teams. They get key hits against good pitchers. When you look at the body of work over an entire season, and you have a team that has 90 some wins. I mean, you got to look at who they're beating. You have to, I mean, look at how was it every American League team that had a winning record was in the postseason, which speaks terribly of every other American League team. So when I look at what the Indians did against the good teams, they hit some really good pitchers. And so I think that I give them the edge, really, because you're going to have to sneak a couple of hits here and there. You're not going to get a ton. I realize that these wild card games are really high scoring, but no, the Indians are going to win the series. I'll give the Yankees one win, but I say the Indians are winning it in four.
I also have the Indians in four. That sounds about right to me. I think the Yankees are too good and too kind of proud of a team to go down in the sweep, but I think Cleveland is clearly the better team. All right, so we'll be back a little later, or maybe at the exact same time. I'm not sure when they're posting these, with the preview of the NLDS between the Diamondbacks and Dodgers. Allison, I'll talk to you then.